Hello, everybody. My name is Rune Aldred, and I'm your proprietor of tonight's entertainment. I am here with my patrons, the Boss Foss. It's your
Wow.
boy and Mr. Retro, who wanted to give everybody shit for not having the camera on, but yet still doesn't have his camera on. Speaking of which, you guys could catch the vidcast version here on YouTube.
Okay, hang on. Retro was on the other side of the screen just now. So when he turned on his camera, I thought Chris just turned on his camera
I
and
did
was
too.
very proud of Chris. And then I'm like, wait, Chris looks a lot like John. So good
No,
job.
the Zoom call wanted to segregate Chris into his own corner.
It's okay.
His no camera corner.
Looks
But
like John's coming prepared.
as I was saying, if you guys want to catch
Fiery,
the
very, very
vidcast version to see all of our lovely faces, except mine, which is cleanly shaven and horrendous at this moment, and Chris's because he doesn't have a webcam. You can catch it on the Root or the Nerdgasmic Goodfellas YouTube channel, or you could listen to us on any of your podcast streaming devices. Let's go ahead and jump into small talk. We'll start with Chris since we can't see him. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
You're
Same old, same
welcome.
old. It's good old work and life and smelling the roses and drinking a beer along the way. I mean, what more
Anything?
can you ask for?
I mean, there's something we could ask for, specifically something that comes out on the 15th of this month. Something you're extremely excited for. Would you like to talk
Yes,
about your
I
excitement?
am Star Wars Battlefront fucking remaster, man. Like, what?
I'm
Come on
so
now.
excited. The
I am
droid
fucking.
battles. The droid battles of our childhood.
It's
Oh my
gonna be
God,
so good.
Kashyyyk,
bro. Kashyyyk, that was my favorite map, dude. The islands with all the huts and stuff.
It's all
The
coming
droids
back
versus
in
Wookiee.
beautiful remastered glory.
I
Oh,
was always in the
dude.
space battles. I'd be in the
Oh,
ship
dude.
and I would
Oh,
just rush into the hangar to go sabotage the
yeah.
systems every time.
Guys, yeah.
we get Daddy Palp with a saber in this one.
Oh my God, I know. Yeah,
It's
dude.
not
He can
just his
fly.
little
He can
shocky
float.
fingers. It's
It,
not
which
just
is
his
really
little shocky
cool, you
fingers.
know, like when they came out with Battlefront 2 and he had the whole Force Lightning and stuff like that. Like it's cool,
I've
but
been limited in power.
wanted him to be Saber in it, dude.
Right? I mean, come on. We got him in a saber fight in the the movies with his little torpedo spin that wee.
Yeah, it looked awesome.
All right, Rosgrizz the Boss Foss, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, except for the fact that I'm sick. I am drinking a tangerine guava candle.
Oh,
As I don't
spicy.
actually have a drink, so I'm just, if at any point you guys are watching, you see me suddenly grab this and act like I'm drinking something, it's so that way I don't feel left out for the fact I don't actually have a drink with me and I cannot get to the kitchen right now.
And you get to enjoy the lovely aroma.
It
Just
is
saying.
actually quite nice, yeah.
It sounds like it's really good, dude.
As
I love
for
cows.
what's new with me, I've been playing Helldivers 2, so much so that the wife says that it's my whole life now, which is not true. I don't believe that. I do randomly shout for democracy now, which is odd. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. But other than that, I just got the Fallout Magic the Gathering cards. That was the other new thing, which I was just telling you guys about.
That's so cool.
No,
I do
you've
not
been a
play
bad cop.
Magic the Gathering, so I'm kind of virgin to that.
It's all good, you know?
I am really excited for the Magic the Gathering crossovers. Like I just found out the other day they did a Doctor Who one. And I was like, "What?" But I'm really excited. Yep, fuck you. So, oh, that's the Doctor Who one.
This is the timey-wimey one. So it's the one with David Tennant.
Nice.
That
But
one I have actually happened to just have on my desk.
I've been excited for the Fallout and the Assassin's Creed Magic the Gathering card sets. Mr. Retro, how are you? I'm gonna let the cats out of the cage.
Yeah, it's out the bag.
Yeah, well, they've been bad today, so I think I'll stop punishing them for right now.
Well, I've been doing good. I got a girlfriend, you know, and
My god, he's making it.
I'm happy, and I've been like the happiest I've ever been, dude, for quite a long time.
I love I'm happy for you, man.
Yeah, I got some new tattoos. And got my old one touched up. So starting to work on my sleeve, you know, and life is good. And I'm drinking beer, so it's even better now.
Speaking of tattoos, as long as it doesn't take us forever to actually record another episode, I'm getting a tattoo. Gonna be right here in April.
Ooh, that's a fun spot, bro. Well,
I'm deeming it the start of what will eventually be a full sleeve.
This one goes pretty low on the wrist, but it's still like down there by the hand, bro. Ooh-wee. I can't imagine.
I was told that it's going to be less painful than my ankle tattoo.
Yeah, I was gonna say the more wrist.
I can see how ankle. And Tim, you want to get the, for real, you want to get that? The barcode?
My next tattoo is seriously going to be the barcode. It's going to be the Hitman barcode, but I'm changing up the numbers to be the serial date. That's part of his tattoo. Is going to be the date I started the YouTube channel and changed pretty much my personality from Tim to Rune. And then the second set of date numbers are going to be my two favorite numbers, and then the 47.
I'm going to laugh so hard if you can scan that in a store and it pops up with like something stupid like Oreos or Monster energy drinks.
Yeah, but you know that would fit my personality so well, because I'd be like, hey guys, guess what?
I'll just like baby powder. Boop. Like, what the fuck? Something hella weird.
Condoms. Definitely condoms.
Condoms. I was going to say tampons. Boop.
Layered lube.
Adult diapers. That's even better. Adult diapers.
But I'm really happy for you, Johnny.
Oh, thank you, buddy. Really quick, to get that tattoo, we should go. I found a new spot in Reading that I want to hit up. Now you should go there with me and we'll get some tats.
All right. But no, I'm really excited for you. I'm excited that you're officially kind of stepping forward and being like, I got a girlfriend and I love that chick.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's really nice because I know for a while you're keeping it on the down low.
Yeah.
So yeah, for a while. Coming out in a more public space and just saying it, it's really nice to see. I'm sure she would love it. She'd be like, you see him right there? He's so cute.
That's my hubba bubba.
She does that a lot.
She does it. That's mine and her lap running gag. We just look at each other. Mm-hmm. We'll be like, look at him. So cute.
I'll be playing pool and I'll have two people checking me out. That's kind of creepy.
To do my portion of small talk, everything's going good. We are catching up in Suicide Squad. I highly recommend you guys check that video out in our playlist. We are getting to where shit's getting good. And with Joker coming out on the 28th, I am very excited to get through and beat the game. David and I have just finished State of Decay, so that playlist will be completely out here soon.
We did?
Yeah, we finished the builder.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, but I'm just now editing them.
Oh, okay. I'm like, wait, when the fuck did we play?
You don't remember?
I know, dude. He'll be like, oh yeah, I'm editing this video, you know, talking about it at work. I'm like, bro, that was like 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, how often we sit down to record stuff, I have to hold it out until we get ready to record another episode in it.
I still got a pain in the ass to get in contact with, actually sit down to play these things. You need to work around our schedules, not the other way around. Or, Tim, you know, don't sleep until noon get a job that actually is during the normal working hours.
Hey,
what you talking about? Normal better? Working hours? The graveyard.
Yeah, we graveyard.
I did the graveyard shift while working at the casino, even though it wasn't considered the graveyard shift.
I would not want to work a graveyard shift, bro.
No.
Dude, I was pissed. I never got the graveyard pay. It covered the entire night because it was like 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. But at no point do you get that extra pay for working graveyard because it starts in the evening. It does not start at night.
Hmm.
Anyway, sorry.
That's some bullshit.
Outside of that, I'm excited for the Star Wars Battlefront remasters. I'm excited to be hopping into Outlast Trials with all four of you, or the three of y'all. Well, four, because Jesus is always with us. Ain't that right, John?
Hey, brother.
Outside of Outlast Trials, Suicide Squad, Star Wars, we also are looking forward to South Park Snow Day. So we got a few things in the chamber that I'm really happy for and excited.
Maybe some Helldivers content.
Maybe.
More than just me and you.
Some more Helldiver live stream since I started live streaming them today. I'm drinking wonderful V8 Spicy Hot Original.
That's kind of like what I'm drinking, but with beer in it.
Yeah, I got the non-alcoholic version.
You do. You really do. That's pretty. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
How's that candle, David?
That's the key.
Delicious.
Looks good. I'm jealous.
So, to jump into the topic of today, I want to kind of deviate on a side story because today is officially the day that Matthew Patrick has retired from Game Theory.
Oh, I don't want to think
peace.
About this.
So, MatPat is a staple of at least mine and David's kind of. I don't want to say childhood because we weren't really children, but
let's put it this way. The videos say that they're 10, 11 years old. We graduated high school at that point.
And like my research background for like when we do podcasts and stuff like that was heavily inspired by Game Theory and how in depth they go for all of their topics and discussions. So in spirit of MatPat's retirement, today's topic is going to be on game theories. We're all going to talk about that. You're going to bam, 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 bam. Huh? I'm boss, boss. You're going to bam, 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 bam. Huh? Looking right at you. We are looking at you.
You can't see, but I'm looking.
That bam, 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 okay?
No.
All right. Today, we're going to be talking about either our favorite game theories that we have ourselves or a game theory that we've seen on the Game Theorist channel. I will kick this off with my example with Fallout 4. Are you, as the sole survivor, a synth? So, for those of whom are unfamiliar with the game Fallout 4, the game revolves around pretty much you waking up to go hunt down your son after like the great nuclear apocalypse. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of the game because I don't want to go in depth here on it. But one of the factions that you go against is called the Institute that manufactures synthetic humans. They pretty much kidnap you, scan your brain, and put you in a robot body. That pretty much takes over your life and infiltrates whatever you were a part of in life. So, the theory is that after the bombs drop and you narrowly escaped into the vault, you get put into cryogenic stasis. And you are abruptly woken up from that cryogenic stasis by a hitman named Kellogg, who kills your wife and kidnaps your son, Sean. During that scene, there is a pivotal moment where he refers to you as the backup, but then you get refrozen and you wake up 10 years later to nobody surviving the vault, and you are the sole survivor as you go on a mission to hunt down your son, which, spoiler territory, your son ends up being the leader of the Institute. He is the leader of the people that kidnaps other humans and turns them into synthetics. So, given the Far Harbor DLC in which you speak with Dima, Dima plants just the little thought bubble in our player heads on whether or not we are really the sole survivor, or if we're a synthetic replica of who we started the game as, who was swapped out during the second cryogenic freezing. So that's the theory. Are you human or are you synthetic? Because there's examples that represent both, with Dima giving you pretty much a test to test whether or not you're human or synth by asking very basic questions like, what is your earliest memory? To which your earliest memory as the character is the day the bombs dropped. Which could be a planted memory because you can't remember your childhood. Meanwhile, there's other fan theories that support it by how indestructible and completely unkillable you are, just like a courier would be. I think I'm saying that right. The assassin synthetics, are they couriers? Is that what they're called? Coursers, they're called.
Coursers. Yeah, because I'm like courier. I'm like, you mean like New Vegas?
No, Courser.
Because I was looking at it and think of Corsair.
Yeah. That's pretty good, honestly. But a lot of people theorize that you are a synthetic because of that aspect. Then there's examples that prove against it. Like if you were really a synthetic, then plasma and pulse weapons would have greater damage towards you. Other people would kind of recognize it out. But would they? It's just like another Fallout theory. Is Deacon the lone wanderer from Fallout 3? The guy changes his identity quite often.
Or the fact that Deacon has actually been following you for quite some time.
Deacon's been following you since the start of the game, implanting himself everywhere you go. Also, how else did the apocalypse survival, Wasteland Survival Guide, that's what it was called, make it from Washington to Boston?
The same way that it ended up in New Vegas.
A courier?
Just traveled.
But yeah, that's my theory, my game theory. So, who wants to go first?
I'll
go.
All right. Some points going David's way.
So I had a couple. The first one is that Link is dead. I'm trying to remember what the second one was because I had it a second ago.
So Link is dead as in all the games are like his purgatory?
No. So the theory goes, specifically it's between Ocarina of Time and... Oh, God. What's the other one? With the moon. Mask. I keep wanting to say Twilight something. Majora's Mask, yes. Because you start Majora's Mask falling into a pit. And then suddenly you're in a town.
John, stop picking your tattoo.
No, I'm not picking my tattoo.
You're now in this town that is...
I'm trying to get...
being about to be crushed by this moon. And the theory goes that you falling into the pit is actually you dying. And that's the end of that timeline. Because it's, you know, it takes place directly after Ocarina of Time. And that you're just trying to delay the inevitable. It's been a while. It's been like 10 years since I've seen the theory. But it's always something that I've considered because I'm like, it makes sense because you fell down a pit and now suddenly you're looking at the sky again. And this impending doom clock is now winding down as the planet, the moon is about to just crush.
Wasn't the game a huge time loop too? Like, didn't a time loop like Groundhog's Day kind of go in effect on that?
That's Majora's Mask.
Majora's Mask. I don't remember there being a time loop. I have ever actually played the game.
I never played that one either. Did play Ocarina of Time, though.
Yep. So Majora's Mask takes place directly after Ocarina of Time.
Really? Oh, shit.
The only Zelda game I've ever played was Breath of the Wild and one of the original, like, NES Zeldas.
Twilight Princess, Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom.
I have never played Zelda before.
Oh, I've played as Zelda in Smash Bros.
Tim, I had filled out your form. What was the other thing that I had said?
Oh, shit. People actually filled that out?
Yeah.
Let me open it. You shocked me there. I didn't even check. So much not for me. All.
I do the thing you asked me to do, and you don't even freaking look at it.
Hey. Let's be fair. The last two times I've posted this, nobody filled it out.
Because I had no intention of ever being in this podcast.
Listen.
I was always busy. You were always planning these things at like super late times on school nights.
I'm sorry we have jobs that keep us out late.
Sorry that you guys are all part-timers.
I'm full-time.
We can just do Fridays from now on.
I like the idea of that.
You don't have to worry about going to bed, just in case we do.
I'm sorry that I have a life outside of gaming and you guys.
Why are you sorry?
How dare you?
Your other one was Companion Cube is actually tester.
Yes.
What is it?
So, in the game Portal, this one I actually do know a bit more about. The Companion Cube. Have you ever played Portal?
Briefly.
I have not.
So the Companion Cube is in 1 and 2. It's a cube that has a heart on it. And you carry this cube through this entire level, and it's been your just helping you through everything, and you get to the end of the level, and there's just an incinerator, and you have to throw the Companion Cube into the incinerator to open the door. Okay. You following along so far? Perfect. Fast forward to Portal 2, the Companion Cube shows back up and it's much more prevalent now. It's a bit more charred, but it's still there. But there are points when you can take the Companion Cube to the Emancipation Grill. And when you do, there is a low muffled like scream when it goes through the Emancipation Grill. Plus, there are so many bodies that are just missing from this testing facility.
It reminds me of the other Valve game, Half-Life, with the zombies. When the crab things are on their head, you could hear the humans under them screaming, "Help me, oh God, please help me."
Yeah.
They walk towards you.
What?
Goodness gracious.
So, the game Half-Life? On Half-Life. Yes, the enemies, when they walk up to you, they scream, "Help me, oh God, please help me."
Here. That's cool, bro.
Like, that's what they're saying as they're trying to attack you and kill you?
It's yes. Very muffled, but yes.
Yes, because the alien parasite has taken over their mind.
Oh, so they're still kind of there. They're just, you know, not really in control of their...
their selves.
Yeah. Wow. And what game is that again?
Half-Life.
Yeah, I've never played Portal or that. That sounds pretty fucking cool.
They were really well-rated games by Valve, weren't they? But they're also another one of Valve's games that never received a trilogy. Like Left 4 Dead.
But there is Portal. A reason for that. A confirmed reason of why we've never gotten the third version of anything.
Well, I mean, technically we did get a third Half-Life with Half-Life Alexia, the VR one.
Alex, yeah.
Is it Alex? I thought it was a female name.
But it's... Oh, it is. Alex is the female.
Hmm.
It's them rewriting the story. Yeah. But yeah, the reason why we never got the third one is they were working on it, and then they were getting close to the end, and that's when the engine updated. So then they had to go back through and rework the entire game in the new engine. And by the time they finished doing that, the engine updated. So then they had to redo the entire game from the ground up for the new engine. And by the time they got to the end, the engine updated.
And at that point, they're like, the old engine at that point.
At that point, well, there was a lot of pressure because they're like, you know, everybody is expecting these AAA titles, these grand things. We got to give them the best quality.
Yeah.
So it's either we don't give it to them because we're still working on it, or we give it to them, but it's a lower quality, and we ourselves do not feel happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, it's been, what, 10, 12 years? No, hang on. It's been longer than that.
It's been a long time
since Left 4 Dead and all that. Portal is old.
Half-Life 2 is 2004.
Portal's been around for a while.
Half-Life 2 was 2004?
Yeah, Portal 2 is 2011.
Damn.
Left 4 Dead.
What about Left 4 Dead 2? Because Left 4 Dead 2, I think, released in middle school.
2008, I'd say.
Yeah, that was on PlayStation 3.
2009.
Yep, middle school.
Left 4 Dead was 2008. Left 4 Dead 2 was 2009.
Yeah, oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, they were really close, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Which is really funny because if you buy Left 4 Dead 2, you get Left 4 Dead 1 with it because they remastered the maps and brought the characters back in that game. So you got to play the original game in 2.
Who's your favorite character to play as on Left 4 Dead?
Ellis.
I've never played it.
What the fuck?
Yeah. What? I've never played it. Bro, just like so I have...
That's a fun first person.
I take it back. I have played Dead Space because I was about to say I've never played the original Dead Space, but I have.
I was gonna say you played Dead Space because you streamed it. I could have swore you streamed it like shortly after I first started streaming mine.
Brian did, but I didn't. But no, I did start playing that because Katie was talking about the remaster, which I had no intention of buying, and then suddenly it's on Game Pass, and then I got the premium edition for like $8. I'm like, well, shit, might as well buy it for $8. $8.
It's $8. You can't beat that. It's just like in May when Star Wars Jedi Survivor goes on sale. I'm picking that motherfucker up. I don't care the discount. I just know it'll be discounted. All right. Any other theories there, Mr. Foss of the Boss of the Rosgrees?
The Foss of the Boss of the Rosgrees?
You got to choose a name to stick with. Boss Foss
is typically where I stick. I just officially dubbed it like in the podcast episode where I interviewed you. It is Rosgrees, the Boss Foss.
No, I don't have any other ones right now.
All right. Who would like to go next?
I guess I can go next.
All right. Points all right. Distributed your way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you shove your fucking points up your ass. Okay.
Points deducted from your way.
I don't fucking need those. Yeah,
you know what? You know what? Your points just went to John.
All right. So... today, I'm going to be talking about my game theory on Red Dead Redemption, and I have three little short ones I would like to talk about. So, which one of you guys have played Red Dead Redemption 2? You?
I'm lying.
Yeah, I'm not boss.
I played it. I'm raising my hand.
Oh, are you? Oh,
my hand is raised.
My bad, I didn't see it up. Yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2 is one of my fucking favorite games. I love that fucking game. I've played through it like 3 times. Funny, I have never finished Red Dead Redemption 1 before. I've played a good bit of it, but I've never finished the story.
The ending was sad.
Oh, I know what happens at the end.
The endings are pretty sad.
Mm. Yeah, true that. So the ones that I would like to talk about is the blind guy who's like the fortune teller. I would like to talk about Jack, and I would like to talk about a side mission in the second one. That's about this guy named Francis.
Are you coming up with your own theories, or are you using theories?
No, they're fan. Yeah, they're fan theories. That I really enjoyed reading on.
Just real quick. You guys want to see something creepy?
I'm already seeing something creepy, so...
You see the clear spot in between my baldness and the headphone?
Yeah.
I was sitting here and I looked up and realized one of my hats was staring at me in the background.
See, I think the thing that should be more terrifying is the fact that there's a blurred movement over your left shoulder.
Oh, that's just one of the cats. Oh,
now it's your right shoulder.
That's a cat taking a shit.
And it just kills you.
All right, Chris, let's get on with them Red Dead Redemption theories you got here.
So the first one, I'm talking about the blind guy. He's usually over by Valentine.
Yeah, he's the blind Confederate soldier, right?
No, that guy's in Rhodes. The blind guy that I'm talking about is, you know how you're like riding around and the blind guy will be like, give me money, I'll tell you your fortune or whatever.
Yes.
And he like, so, you know, you give him a dollar. I think it's a dollar. And he'll tell you, like, he'll like predict the fucking future. Like with Arthur, he predicted shit that was going on in the camp and his death near the end of the game. And then if you go back as John at the end of the game, then he talks about a bunch of, well, not a bunch, but a few things that happened in the first game, which I thought was really cool. I predict he's a fucking time traveler, or the thing predicts he's a time traveler, because he like predicts a lot of this shit really fucking accurate. You know what I mean?
He could just be a seer. Mm-hmm. You know, blind people got that gift. Disclaimer, sorry for any blind people that don't have, you know, fortune telling gift. We Nergasma Goodfellas apologize.
Yeah. By the way, you know what the guy's actual name is though, right? I just looked it up.
What's his name?
His name is Blind Man Cassidy.
Blind Man Cassidy.
Yeah.
Isn't Cassidy the name of the redheaded time traveler?
His name is Francis
Sinclair.
Francis. Sinclair. My bad. Thank you, boss.
Because I was gonna say, I know there was a time traveler in Red Dead Redemption that has like the scar on his face.
Allegedly.
That was also what I was gonna talk about.
I don't know why I thought John was sitting in overalls for a second. His periodic table made it look
Time to go back to the barn. I'm sorry. All right,
Chris, your next one.
Yeah, that is the same guy that David was just talking about, Francis Sinclair. I think him, somehow the blind guy, and somehow, who's that? What's the dude's name who's over in Rhodes who's looking for Gavin? I think he has a name, or it's just called Gavin's friend.
Gavin's
friend. Yeah. Gavin, where are you? Gav.
I crossed that guy.
But I think somehow Francis, Gavin's friend, and the blind guy, because Francis asks you to go and look up a bunch of like cave drawings and stuff like that, and you gotta, you know, get all their location, and then you can go back to the cabin, and when you go in there to see him and give him all the drawings and stuff like that, some woman walks in with a baby in her hand, and he has the same marking on his face, and he's like, hey, I was just looking for Francis, and he was like, or no, he said, I'm looking for your husband, and she was like, huh, my husband died a few years ago. And he was like, Francis, I think his name is. And he's like, oh, no, our baby's name is Francis. And he looked at the baby, and the baby had the same fucking scar on his face. And then Arthur got all freaked out and left. So that's, there's an explanation somewhere in the game on what he experienced, but it wasn't like, oh, I just time traveled, you know?
No, but he met the adult version of the infant child he was soon destined to meet.
Yeah, which was the lady that the baby was holding. So I think somehow Francis, the blind guy, and Gavin's friend fucking got into that same thing, and then they're all just kind of stuck there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Go ahead and start your third one. I'll be right back. I have my headphones on, so I will hear you, but I'll be right back.
So my third one's going to be about John's son, Jack. And I read this fan theory about it, and I thought the same thing before I'd even read that. I don't think Jack is John's son. Because before Abigail joined the gang, or she was in the gang, she was a prostitute or some escort. So in the first game, after you beat it, you play as Jack. And in my opinion, he looks really fucking similar to how Javier looks in the second game. So I personally think that Jack is Javier's son.
Interesting theory.
Or even anyone else. I just don't think that he's John's son.
Arthur?
You think Arthur?
I believe the running theory that is the most, like, evidence and a lot of the fans are behind is that Arthur is the father.
Oh, really? So they did the skadoodling, huh? Ooh, it's getting interesting. Mm-hmm.
And it would also explain why Arthur takes the mantle of being, like, the father figure. Yeah, granted, it is revealed that you had a child, and the child passed.
Along with the mother.
Yes, but fun fact for you, the mother was actually supposed to be in the game.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So who's the chick that he's seeing? Is it, she's called Mary? Mary
yeah,
Beth?
His ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's voice lines, there's scenes, and I think there was a character model at one point, looking at the cut content of not Mary, but of his previous wife.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because he was talking about she was a waitress, and then they had like a one-night stand, and they had a kid. Like, he wasn't always there. You know, he said he would come back and, like, hang out with the kid and give the money and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it's pretty sad because they died off of some guy that was stealing money from them for, like, 10 bucks or something, or 20 bucks or some shit.
Oh, Tim says that it's hinted at in the game that Arthur and Abigail had relations.
Relation. Okay. Like, sexual relations?
Like intercourse
relations.
That's cool though.
Yeah, go day.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. That.
I mean,
Arthur's son too.
It's an interesting look at when you look at the cut content, like what something was originally intended to be.
Uh-huh.
How far in Red Dead Redemption 2 have you beaten?
Yeah, I've beaten it like 3 times.
Don't get into too much detail because I have not played 2 story mode yet.
Oh, I thought you've played 2 before.
I played a lot of 1. So, Mark Marsden's in 1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's in both, but you play as him in
Oh, you play 1. With him. You play as him in 2 also?
You play as him in 1. So
yeah. I like John.
There's a chapter that you end up on an island. That's not too much of like a spoiler. Yeah. That was intended to be a much bigger map that you could go back to.
Oh, no shit.
But it got cut.
What? Oh my god, that would have been so cool to go back there.
There's also, like, there's a shark that we were supposed to be able to find. I think some sea turtle that we
there
were
was supposed
to
be a legendary fish that you can get that was a cat that was a humongous catfish, and I think they cut that from the game as well.
So
yeah, there's
once
a bunch of
once
stuff
Grand Theft Auto 6 is out and they have some steady like support with it, they say that they're supposed to start working on Red Dead Redemption 3.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
Isn't the second one that the characters that like one or both of the characters or something are descendants of people from Red Dead Redemption?
So Red Dead Redemption 2 takes place before Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, it's a prequel.
And what I think is going to happen?
No, I'm sorry. No, in GTA 6.
Wait, what's your question?
No
one more time.
As far as we know, there's no relation. There's been rumors and theories about one of the main characters going to be a descendant from a character.
I haven't heard anything of that. It's as far as I know, unrelated. It's just they're focusing on getting Grand Theft Auto 6 out before they start working more on 3.
Mm-hmm.
What I suspect and theorize they're going to do with Red Dead Redemption 3 is they're going to go even more back in time. So I think that because Red Dead Redemption 2, and this isn't much of a spoiler, starts with you're running from the law from a failed robbery in Blackwater.
No shit. Come on. Keep talking.
Well, I mean, that's not a spoiler.
No,
that's
no. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
So it would make sense that that's where the game would end. Is like,
yes.
We know what happens after that, but what happened before? What led up to it? Where'd these people come from?
The Blackwater job and fucking, you know. Dude. Me and my cousin Gabe were talking about that a few weeks ago on how either you play as what was his name, Davey or David or something like that. Either you play as him, or you could play as like a Dutch. You play as Dutch or something.
Sorry about that. Was splitting my attention because Tim's sending voice messages to us. He says that it's rumored that Michael DeSanta from Grand Theft Auto 5 is a descendant because of the fact that he has Deadeye.
Well, yeah, he kind of does have Deadeye, but he kind of just slows down. He can't, like, mark people, but...
It's gotten kind of watered down over the years.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's no longer Deadeye. It's just eye.
It's just the eye. He's got the eye of the tiger.
He's got the thrill of the fight.
Mm.
I don't know if Retro. Do you want to wait for Tim to get back before you say your piece?
It's okay. He can hear me. Can't you, baby? You hear everything we say, don't you?
Yeah, sorry, mine were a little bit short and not all that exciting, but they were just ones that I thought were really cool.
Oh, he told me go ahead and start, so.
Here we go! Where's my paper? Camera back on?
I started to prepare something. Oh, yeah, I will. I was... smoking a cigarette. Let's see here.
There's counts of stinks.
Alright. So, mine is not really prepared, and I haven't really heard much about this until I kind of looked into it recently. It is a Kingdom Hearts theory that everything that happens in the games are all in Sora's mind, and he is just imagining and kind of connecting things to his actual reality and imagining, pretending everything that's actually unfolding. Let's see here. The Adventures, let's see, The Adventures and Disney and Final Fantasy team ups are all a part of a socially disconnected and troubled young boy named Sora. Disney being his favorite movies to watch, and Final Fantasy being his favorite games to play, he connects those together and then just kind of imagines a world to kind of escape his reality, because he is in an orphanage. Because at a very young age, he was involved in a horrible and traumatizing car crash with his whole family, and was the only surviving member. He was badly injured, and I guess they operated on him. He had internal damage and kind of had to mess with him, and so it just kind of messed him up for a while. And let's see.
I've heard of that before, the Kingdom Hearts coma theory.
This is this is a new theory. I've never heard of this one before.
The
not to this extent, at least.
So after you know, his whole family died in the car accident, except for him, he had nowhere to go, so they placed him in an orphanage. And the orphanage is like in the beginning of the game when you start off on the island. That is supposed to be like his imagination being the orphanage to
his perception of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like everything, even the characters, like besides the Disney characters and stuff, like the, you know, the characters that kind of come in throughout the games, I guess, are based on teachers in the orphanage, like the principal and students. Like Kyrie is based on one of the students that he really connects to, like in the orphanage school and all that. So
what about the Final Fantasy
characters? I guess he said that Riku represents like who he wants to be, like brave and, you know, just kind of leader and bold and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, so I thought that was kind of a cool little theory. And I always thought that too when I was like first playing the game. I'm like, dude, I wonder if this kid like bonked his head or some kind of shit, and he's just in, you know, like he's just in kind of like a fucking coma dream, you know, imagining all this crazy stuff going on. And
yeah, so you know how
at the end of the game he's gonna wake up and like be in the hospital like, what's going on?
Well, I heard this theory shortly after they released the new Kingdom Hearts trailer where it showed him in actually Tokyo. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not in one of the Disney worlds. He's not in a Final Fantasy world. He's Kingdom Hearts 4. I heard that theory shortly after it because people were saying one of the rooms that it showcased in the trailer looked like a hospital room. So, like, his coma dream seeped into his reality. And he wakes up from the coma having, like, the Keyblade and everything. Which is why you see the darkness, like, coming in through Tokyo and he's, like, running up the skyscrapers. And
yeah, I saw that footage.
And that's pretty cool, though.
More realistic, like.
He has more of a Final Fantasy style art style in that, which begs the question whether or not that's actually Tokyo or if that's a setting in Final Fantasy. And we're finally starting to jump into Final Fantasy worlds.
I think it's a world in Final Fantasy, but that's a theory for another day.
Ooh.
All right, ooh, buddy, pal. That was pretty much all I got right now. All
right. Well, during my hiatus and departure there for a minute, there were some things I wanted to touch on with Chris's game theory. I'm surprised you didn't bring up the devil.
Which one? Because I read a couple of the... So, there was a strange man being the devil. Yeah.
In both games, there's a strange man in a top hat that talks to the protagonist. With a very
First one, you actually, there's a cutscene with him, but you don't really meet him in the second one. There's like a little cabin that you go to.
You could go to his cabin and like a painting slowly paints himself and then he appears behind you. But in the first game, John legitimately shoots him at point blank range.
Just goes right through him.
Yes. The dude is theorized to be the devil. And he comes like shortly. Storyline wise, I say he comes shortly before the protagonist's deaths.
Yeah, like, because you, I think in the first one you meet him like after
in the third act
you did the shit for the agent.
Yeah, you meet him. He's standing on the hill, overlooking your farm, and he makes a comment like, "I think this would be a good place to be buried."
Yeah,
like very ominous, like. This is where your grave should be.
Talking about ooh. Dutch killing an innocent girl, which I think is at the Blackwater job.
Or it could be a reference to RDR2.
See, I don't think that they had the sequel in mind yet when they made that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but as a player and a fan,
but after the second,
you can make that
out,
loose connection though.
Like they can keep adding on to it, you know.
Still think RDR3 should go in the perspective of Jack in the New World.
No, you gotta go before. There's still so many questions, and you know,
could do like a dual thing of both past and future of like.
Jack hunting down the truth.
Yeah, because we have confirmation that Jack did write a book and it's in
Grand Theft Auto 5.
I forget whose house it's in, but
Franklin's.
Which house?
I said it first.
So, yeah,
or your
GTA
Online character.
He could be hunting down the truth, and then we play as a different character.
The guy that died on the snowy trail after the Blackwater job.
David?
I forget. Was his name Davey?
Yeah, wasn't there two people that died? There was Davey, and it wasn't on the trail, but it was some other chick that Lenny had like
Jenny?
A crush on. Jenny, thank you.
Another connection that you were talking about while I was in the bathroom was RDR characters and GTA characters being related. There is a theory that the protagonists for GTA 6, the male and the female, are related to Arthur and Sadie. Because there's correlation in the character designs. The male protagonist.
As much as I love a good theory, I think I'm just going to wait for confirmation on that one.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I could be sitting here and be like, Trevor is a direct descendant of Dutch. Because they're both murderous people.
Fuck that.
No,
Trevor's
yet,
a descendant
Trevor
from somebody from
like
Manhunt.
That.
Trevor's a descendant from someone from Manhunt. Come on.
God, those were good games.
The first one is the only one that
brutal
I played a little
shit,
bit of.
Well, I digress. We have all talked about our theories, so it's time to tally up my very non-biased points here. We'll start with the bottom of the leaderboard. Rune Eldred, you scored no points for being such a beautiful and wonderful host. Mr. Retro, you scored... I gave you 2 points. Well, I guess you got 3, because I did give you one of Chris's. I gave you one of Chris's, because Chris didn't want his...
Those two
Listen,
points.
Shut your mouth. Shut your little hole.
Right
shut,
up your
shut your
twat.
Little well-trimmed hole. Okay.
Stick to the man.
I gave you 2 points for your one theory because I liked it. I felt like it was unique and I felt like it was intriguing because I have had Kingdom Hearts on my mind lately. So it was very, very convenient and ironic and creepy. And then you also got Chris's going second point because he tempted me to get rid of it. So, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Didn't need it.
Second place.
with 3 points is David.
What?
That was such a buildup for such an anticlimactic thing.
I wanted to edge you a little bit, all right? You got an initial point for going first. I was gonna give you initially 2 points for going first, but you did bring in 2 ideas, which I really liked. You had 2 different ideas from 2 different games. Chris wins this episode because I do love Red Dead Redemption. and one of his theories I've never heard of, which was the blind man. Never heard that theory. So he brought something new, whereas I've kind of heard pretty much. I've heard Link is dead. I didn't hear the companion.
In my defense, I interpreted your instructions as we were talking about theories that Map Hat and the game theorists had actually covered.
I wasn't told that.
Because I was basing off of what our instructions were. So that's why I went with it.
Okay, non-arbitrary, non-biased points right now.
Chris can still win.
Nope. But
I win.
By default, I am just forever host. No. Let's see. I'm still going to go with Chris for the win. David, you are a very close second. You went first. You did do theories that Matt Pat talked about, which is why I've heard them before and did only award 1 point per theory. If I heard your guys' theory before, I did give 1 point compared to the 2 points I did give the one theory Chris brought in that I never heard. So Chris does win by 1 point. So Chris, give a winner speech.
I actually really enjoyed this podcast. I really loved listening to John and David's theories. Those were really cool. Even though I haven't played either of those games, but it was still really cool to figure out what's going on in those games. So
how about you shut that phone up?
Sorry.
I'm just messing with you. Check it out though.
I am the host here. I am the podcast messiah. You do not direct me in what I'm going to do, okay? Okay? You cannot come on here and act insulted or angry because you didn't get a win, John, okay? You cannot be
Chris,
as good
check,
as
check
this.
Your phone, Chris. Yeah, check your phone real quick, bro.
Oh, God. Now I'm getting a phone call.
Wait.
You want me to mute my mic? No, whatever you got to say to me, you can say to the microphone.
Mute your microphone, let Chris do his outro.
So, real quick, I'm going to pull a card here. And I'm going to use my veto, and I'm going to take the win.
Shit. Okay.
Do it.
Oh my God, I'm choking.
Yeah.
Are you using your power of veto?
I am.
Yeah, he is.
Now the question is, are you using power of veto so David's host, or are you stealing his win and taking it from him? Because you had 2 perks. You have a steal the win or veto the win. If you veto the win, David's winner.
I think I'm going to steal this one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, congratulations to the ever wonderful Mr. Rick.
Yeah!
Undeniable.
Underdog story.
Undeniable.
From last stuff first.
From very last.
Yes.
So many people I'd like to thank. I'd like to thank God, first of all.
Of course.
I want to thank my mom. Without her, I wouldn't be here today.
You can thank me. That's okay. Or say sorry, whichever.
No, seriously, though. It was fun. I just needed to be a dick. I gotta use it sometime, bro. I wanted to use it.
Chris's first win on the podcast. Chris finally wins.
I won a Cards of Humanity one. So this is the second one.
Well, no, you've only won one.
Well, yeah, you got fucking episode. Stolen from me some listen, fat drunk
you
chump.
You cannot take away. You cannot take away Mr. Retro's victory here. He fought hard. He did the research.
You know what? He could shove this win right up his fucking ass.
He received 400 points alone for the notepad. There could be nothing on it, but the fact that he looked well prepared.
I know, it's just it looks.
He had a cool Marvel shirt on, so
he had a Marvel shirt that duped me as overalls.
I just gotta hold him like this.
Well, John DeWitter, today's podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
The periodic
it was
table.
A long, hard fought, but John won very victoriously.
Always chewing his tobacco.
Ting.
All right, with that, we're going to bring in the final call. Anybody have some departing messages they would like to say before we conclude today?
Yeah, episode? I would like to say, fuck you, John. Yeah, that's about it.
Thank you, good sir. And a fuck you back to you as well.
Oh, all right.
My final say.
Also, I'd like to add, your mother.
Hey, don't be a rude fucking shit. Let fucking boss talk, all right? Sit back.
Retro, you need to pay the $10 so that way you can play Helldivers 2. I mean, obviously you gotta buy Helldivers 2 as well, but you gotta play Helldivers 2 with this man.
Listen,
you
John,
would
you
fall
gotta
in
spend
love
the $50.
For democracy.
We gotta go for democracy.
Load the G and spread the D, bro.
You cannot deny the local customs.
With my parting message, I would just like to say a big thank you to Matt Pat. Highly doubt there would ever be a chance whatsoever in the world that I'd hear this, but thank you for the, 13 years that he's been doing Game Theory. We hope you have a wonderful retirement, and we look forward to seeing whatever it is you bring in the future with whatever you're doing next in your career. And have a happy retirement to Rooster Teeth as well, who also retired today.
I don't think that was a choice, though.
Yeah, that one was a little less of a choice, but they did have their retirement party, and I am excited to see where Red versus Blue or even Ruby will go from here. But needless to say, the message is all the good ones are retiring, and I'm going to be in a depressive little cry circle. So thank you guys for watching. If you guys are watching the vidcast, Thundergasm of Goodfellas, the YouTube channel, there will be a link down below so you can find that. If you are listening, thank you for listening on any of your podcast service devices. We appreciate it. Make sure you drop a like, a follow, subscribe, whatever it is you can do to be notified when other videos come out. Next week, we will follow Mr. Retro and whatever topic, game, or challenge he decides to bring. Goodbye, everybody.
Later.